This week on the Time Bat Show.
Do you think that Aladdin stole stuff every day? Like to eat?
I mean...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 147. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
We have a great
Sorry,
show.
My voice is...
Oh, you're good. Welcome to the show. Are you okay? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good now.
We have a good show today, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
My chair is really low right now. Like, have you ever, like, had a like an office chair that keeps just getting lower and lower? And, like, there's the pump to, like, get it up, but, like... You don't remember how that works because it's kind of broken, you know? Yeah. There's like a special way to do it, but you don't remember exactly what the special way is.
Yeah, and you'd kind of have to like get down on the floor yeah. to figure out how to do it again, and that's just right. too much work.
It's a lot of work. So I'm just like, well, this is my life now.
I'm just lower.
It's fine. So if I sound like I'm coming from like a bottom to like... speak into the microphone, it's because that's exactly what's happening. But how are you today, Bat Snacks?
I'm pretty good. I've had a good week.
Yeah. Anything exciting going on with you?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So right before the show, we were talking about I've had a job interview this past week. And like earlier in the week when I was really nervous about going into the interview, I texted you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm having this happen. What do you think? What do you think? And you gave me some advice that stuck with me, like really good. And your advice was just go into it without any expectations. That way, no matter what happens, you won't be disappointed. And you can only be, you know, you can only be happy.
Pleasantly surprised with the results. Yeah. That stuck with
And me. When we were reviewing your advice before the show, you were like, I don't remember what I said.
I don't even remember saying. Yeah. Advice is so weird like that because this happens to me too. Someone will give me like amazing advice and it'll like really stick in my head and I'll like think about it all the time. And then like later I'll go up to them and be like, hey, thank you for that advice. Like it was great. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, you remember you told me the da-da-da-da? And they're like, no, I don't remember saying that at all. It's so strange how that works. But
yeah, I mean, so when you go to someone with, you know, kind of looking for advice or maybe not looking for it, but you present with them a situation where they could give you advice.
Right.
Like they're not ready. They don't have anything prepared.
They don't.
So they just make something
they just
make up. Something.
They just talk out of their ass. And then like sometimes I guess that sticks with you and you're like, that's good. That's really good. I love it. Like that's how the world works. Like we don't even know what we're talking about. But sometimes we say something profound and then everyone else takes it to heart, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that happens to me a lot. Not giving advice, but like getting advice and then the other person's like, I don't even remember saying that. Well, I'm glad my advice accidentally stuck with you.
Yeah, it did. It really meant a lot. And you know,
it's good.
So I don't really get advice a lot because I don't like to talk to people about stuff.
Sure.
That they could give me advice on because I'm just a private person or whatever. So whenever I do talk to someone and I get advice, I like think about it really hard.
Oh, so you're like, this is, I don't get a lot of advice. I need to really think about this.
Yeah.
Consider it. That's good. Yeah. I don't get a lot of advice either. I don't really have anyone to ask for advice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think my problem is like, I feel like anyone I'd ask for advice, they don't know all the details. So like they wouldn't be able to give me any good advice. But maybe I'll start. We should start asking advice from each other.
Yeah, we could do that. It might work.
We'll see what happens. Like, you don't have to take it to heart at all. But, like, just be like, hey, what do you think about this? And then the other person's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it just says something totally, like, something that they probably wouldn't even agree with if you, like, brought it back up. Like, I probably could have asked you today, so what do you think about just going into my interview with zero expectations? And, like, you didn't remember that you said that. You'd be like, I don't know. You should definitely
That's a terrible idea. You should definitely have expectations. And you'd be like, but no, that's what you said, like, a week ago. But no, I think going in, I think that's solid advice, even though I said it. But like going in with no expectations is like good. I think that's good life advice in general. Because I think the problem I have, and I think you share this issue with me, is like I'm a planner. I'm a schemer, right? We've talked about this before. Like, if you're in the shower, going over conversations in your head, or on an airplane, going over future conversations in your head with somebody you need to have. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. And you're like, oh, I'll say this, and then they'll say that, and then I'll say this. You know, like, you do that too, right? I think you mentioned it once.
I'll do, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh thing where I play down my trap card, like, oh, I had this response planned to exactly what I wanted.
And then you get in the conversation, and it doesn't go like that at all. like, not even close. Like, you don't even bring up the original thing. But I think the problem with doing that is you get all these expectations in your head. So, like, I do it, too. Like, I plan out, like, oh, conversations, not necessarily conversations, or, like, what I'm going to do at work, or, like, how I'm going to do this thing. And I, like, scheme and plan, and then I do it, and it doesn't turn out like that at all. And I get disappointed because my expectations are, like, really high, or they're really different for this thing, and they're not. That's not what happens, you know?
Yeah. Or, and, you know, it goes away from your plan and you panic. You're like, oh, no, like, I didn't plan for this.
Like, oh, this didn't work at all. And then you, like, have no idea what to do and you get kind of grumpy. Like, I noticed recently – I mean, I didn't notice recently. But I feel like I get in, like – I think this is the source of my – some of my depression is when I have, like, an idea of what something should happen. And then I go into something and I'm like, oh, this is the plan. And that doesn't happen. And even if the thing that actually happened, like, let's say, I don't know, I'm going out to a concert or something with my wife or with a friend or something. And the plan is I'm going to be at the concert and it's going to be really fun. And then afterwards, we're going to go out to dinner and, like, I'm going to meet or, like, I'll meet the band, like, at the end of the show or whatever.
It'll never happen.
And it'll be great. And I'm, like, planning out, like, what I'll say to them and everything. And, like, that doesn't ever work. And so, like, that doesn't happen. And I get really disappointed. But, like, maybe some other cool thing happens. Like, I'll meet, like, a friend that I haven't seen in years that's flying into town. And, like, we go out for drinks, like, at some place and, like, have a really good time. Like, that could happen. But I'd still be disappointed because that wasn't the plan. You know what I mean? That was, like, this other thing that I didn't want to happen.
Yeah.
I think, like, that's source of my depression a lot of times. Yeah. Like, not
to get too deep too early, but, you know, that's really similar to that, like, Japanese, like, stoic sort of philosophy where it's, like, you got to be like water. You don't make plans or expectations. You just do your best in the moment.
Yeah. And you got to go with the flow, you know?
Yeah. Don't fight the current with what you think should happen.
Like, I really need to stop fighting the current because my whole life is fighting the current and, like, thinking about the future. You know what I mean? I'm always thinking about the future and the next thing, and I'm never thinking about, like, what's now. And it's, like, so annoying because, like, this past week, like Tuesday – I don't want to get too specific into work, but, like, we launched a new expansion to our game on Tuesday. It was a really exciting day, and it was really cool. And I was, like, going into the day. I was like, this is going to be a fun day. Like, we're celebrating. It's cool. And then, like, we did something that I was expecting us to do, but it didn't go the way that I thought it would.
Right.
And my expectations kind of veered off. Like, they were veered away from my expectations. And it was cool because it was, like, a surprise. I don't want to give out details and stuff, but, like, it was different than what I was expecting, and it just made me in a bad mood. Like, and I don't know why I was in a bad mood. Like, it doesn't make any logical sense for me being in a bad mood, you know? But, like, because something happened that was other than my expectations, even though it was cool, you know, like, it just, I don't know. It made me in a bad mood on this day that I should be happy for, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense. So,
I don't know. The moral of the story is try to have no expectations. I mean, like you said, be like water or whatever.
Be like water. That's that Bruce Lee
thing. Leading into this, because this is a good this is a good segue into no expectations. There's this trend online. You know what I'm about to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I love this topic.
There's this trend online. It's been going on for a few years now, but it's really reached critical mass in the last, would you say, I don't know, 6 months or so? Maybe in the past year.
I've seen it for a good year or two.
Yeah. So it's this idea of, I'm going to use quotes, air quotes, self-care, quote unquote, right? Self-care. And people define this in a bunch of different ways. But the gist is, if you're not familiar with it, is you know, you're number one. You need to take care of your own self before you take care of others. And, like, taking care of others is important, but, like, you gotta focus on you sometimes and, like, be your own best ally, you know what I mean, in your life and all that stuff. And in that sense, I think it's a fine philosophy, you know, like, take care of yourself, right?
Yeah, everything you just said makes perfect sense to me, but this isn't the issue.
They have taken it to some weird ass, like, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know how to describe it. Do you think you can take a crack at describing? Because I don't even know how to begin describing this phenomenon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Unless you've seen it yourself, it's hard to know exactly what we're talking about. But basically, there's an online community that
I don't even know.
Is it a community even?
There
are sources out there that just want to remind you about the basic steps to being
alive.
To being like not dying.
It's basically like the equivalent, the like online equivalent of those inspirational posters from like the 90s. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like hang in there and all that stuff. Like it doesn't do anything. It's just kind of there to remind you to take care of yourself. And the silly thing with it is like what I like said a minute ago with like, you know, being your own best ally and all that stuff. Like that's all affirmative stuff that you should do. But this is all like bland shit of like, remember to drink water and exercise every day and pamper yourself by going out to dinner sometimes so you don't get so sad. And, like, those are things that people just do regular. You don't need to tell people about it. But it's weird because this whole culture has evolved from, like, this self-replicating, I don't know, like a meme almost of, like, you know, if someone says this simple-ass advice that everyone should do because that's how to survive as a human, they'll be like, oh, thanks for the self-affirmation. And it's like, she just said drink water. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Like, I'm drinking water right now. Like, I don't need that. Maybe this is the cynic in me, but I don't know. Like,
part of it is the cynic in you, for sure. But I think it's part of the culture where now – if you see something on the internet that you think is good and you don't speak up about it being good, then you're enabling bad somehow.
And you're also saying that it's bad. You're like, basically inaction is the opposite, right? Like you're affirming that it's bad, essentially. Yeah. I just think, and maybe like the issue isn't like, oh, what they're saying, right? It's like nothing is wrong with, sorry, my computer just decided it wanted to update itself right now. Nothing is wrong with telling people to, you know, exercise and eat healthy and drink water and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's fine. But the issue with me is the fact that we're, like, celebrating this for some reason. Like, we're wasting our time on these benign, banal things, pieces of advice, and we're not really getting into the meaty, interesting, useful parts of advice. It's like we're on like the surface level. Like imagine you have mental illness. I mean, I do, but like,
okay. Like that's easy. I'm with you so far.
So imagine you have a mental illness and you're trying to do something about it. Some people go to therapy, some people go take medications, some people try to make different lifestyle choices. We actually had this conversation like a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But like this whole philosophy is like, instead of doing all that stuff that'll help, let's just do really surface-level things and pretend that it's helping. Like drinking water and exercising and eating healthy. All things that you should be doing, but they're not going to really help you. Like, if you have depression, you're not going to be less depressed because you're drinking more water. You know what I mean? That's just not something that's going to happen. So the idea of self-care, to me, like the new wave self-care, it's just, it's like a fake, like, surface-level self-help that doesn't really do anything. Like, I see it, and maybe it's because I'm just a depressed person, and I see it, and I'm like, I see someone say, get lots of sleep, drink lots of water, hashtag self-care, and I'm like, fuck you, that's not going to help me at all. Like, I've done that before. It doesn't do anything, you know? Like, and it, like, makes me angry that, like, they're pretending to help people, when in reality, there's plenty of people out there that need help, but, like, they need more than just telling them to drink water. They need real life advice or real someone real to listen to what they're going through. You know what yeah. I mean?
I mean, maybe the real aggravating thing is they're getting like a lot of celebration and validation yeah. for over just these little things.
Like shit that does not help me at all as someone that needs help, or doesn't help other people at all that needs help. Like, it's not helping anyone to tell you to get more sleep and drink more water. It's helping someone if you, like, message them on Twitter or whatever and be like, hey, do you need to talk about your shit? I will listen to you. Like, that helps. That's a helpful thing. You know, just validating some bullshit that we're waving around as self-care, it's just a... it's a hoax, you know? It's stupid.
So I thought ridiculous. Of what this reminds me of. Have you ever had one of those Dove chocolates, and when you open up the wrapper, it says, like, something positive?
Yeah.
Like, remember to... have a good day. Like, you know the chocolates I'm talking yes, about. No,
I
right?
know exactly what you're talking about.
This is like the online equivalent of
it
that.
It is. But at least with the chocolates, I'm getting chocolate out of it, you know? Yeah. I'm getting chocolate at the end of the day. And I'm not getting that with this.
So I'll say in the defense of self-care people sure. who are, you know, using up a lot of their time to sure. do this.
To do this bullshit.
To do this. Maybe someone who is depressed or, you know, is struggling, maybe by seeing these things over and over throughout the day, they're getting in the habit of thinking about it more.
Maybe. So it's like self-awareness. Like, the actual advice is useless.
But yeah, it doesn't matter.
They're thinking about being caring for themselves.
Yeah. You know? Like, so let's say I'm sad. Sad on Twitter right now, and I'm just going through my timeline, and I'm just feeling awful. Yeah. And I see a tweet that's like, hey,
you shouldn't
remember
be on Twitter if you're feeling awful.
No, like oh, you messed on, up sorry. There. But you then you see a tweet that's like, okay, remember to get lots of sleep. Remember, you know, you're number one. And then it'll get you kind of, it'll snap you out of it and make yeah. you think about yourself.
So it'll get you in a good headspace kind of thing.
Yeah. And if you see it over and over, kind of it'll
repetition.
Maybe, yeah, it'll get you into a habit of thinking
that's
about it more.
True.
Maybe
that's
something
true.
Like that.
That's fair. That's a fair thing. Yeah. But then I think that's not, you know, that's not the person that's telling you. That's you. You know, you're helping yourself. This person isn't telling you what to do and you're taking their great advice about getting sleep.
Yeah.
You know, you're realizing that you need to think about yourself some more. I don't know. I'm sorry about I'm ranting about this. I must sound so cynical right now.
It's okay.
About
it's,
life.
This makes me think of a really good. Have you ever seen What About Bob?
Yes. Yes.
All right, it's a Bill Murray movie where he thinks he's like a hypochondriac who thinks he's crazy.
Yep.
I'm imagining like a movie where Bill Murray gets really into the self help thing.
Yes.
And like but he doesn't do it right. Like he only does the surface level where he's right. like, okay, remember to drink water. And he gets so obsessed with drinking water that he like hurts himself.
Like maybe for like a week he thinks it's helping. And yeah. then he just like backslides hardcore into depression because he realizes like none of this has done anything for me like at all.
I've been drinking water every 5 minutes for the past week.
Do anything at all. I got 30 hours of sleep over the course of 2 days. That didn't do anything for me.
I feel worse.
I feel tired all the time. Yeah, that would be be funny. But I don't know. I think stuff like this is like, I like the idea of it. I just think like, I don't know, as a depressed person sometimes with, you know, mental issues, you know, when I see these like surface level things that do nothing for me, I just think like, why are we even bothering wasting our time with yeah. this? You know, let's, if we're going to talk about stuff like this, let's get into it. You know, let's really drill in there. You know,
yeah. And you want to hear something else really funny?
Yeah.
You know, in the comments for those self-help things, you always see the, oh, trust me, you have no idea how much I needed this. That's yeah. like the mm-hmm. average
yeah.
response mm-hmm. to the drink water right. post. Yeah. I needed this today. Thank you so much for right. posting it. Like, I guess I just hadn't drank water.
Like you needed a reminder to drink water.
No. But like, so when you see someone like that online who's like, I really needed this. This drinking water really helped me. Do you think right. you're not really depressed me all? If you can just spend 3 minutes in my
yes,
shoes.
Yes, I do think that. That's horrible, but I do. Every time I'm like, if drinking water helped you out of your depression, you're not depressed. Something happened where you're just dehydrated and you're feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so bad.
Why don't you spend 5 minutes in my mind?
No, and I do feel like that. And, like, I don't want to say that I really feel that way. But in that moment, yeah. I definitely do. Because it's, no. like,
I do. I think that's normal for like a depressed
person.
Because
it's like, oh, bullshit, drinking water helped you. Like, oh, yeah, you got 12 hours of sleep. Well, I got 15 and I'm more depressed than I was yesterday, you know? Like, I don't know. I think the problem is like everyone's different, right? And like advice, like generic advice like that doesn't help everyone. And to pretend that it does is stupid. And we're kind of missing the whole point of, you know, mental health awareness, where everyone's different. And what you really need is an ally to talk to and like tell your feelings to, not just some random person on the internet telling you to get sleep and drink water, you know? Okay. Sorry about that.
If those kind of posts help you out, though, dear listener, keep doing it.
You do you. Don't make us change your mind.
But it makes me grumpy.
It makes me so mad. Do you want to get into your first trivia question?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. All your trivia is one category today. I'm not going to tell you the category yet, but I want you to pick your lifeline first.
All right. I'll go with Monty Hall first because I don't know what the category is.
Okay, the category is, are you ready for this?
Sure.
The category is Australia.
Awesome. It's been a while.
I realized we did this before because I was looking at another site that had Australia trivia and I was like, oh, we've done all these. But I found three new ones that we have not done before. So here we go, and away we go. So first question is, which one of these is a real suburb in the city of Sydney, Australia? Sydney, Australia. One of these is a real suburb. The other three I have just completely made up. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Is it A, Pepperondo? B, Wallamaloo? C, Bibberduke? Or D, Donkertusk?
They're all real. All four of them.
Pepperondo, Wallamaloo, Bibberduke, or Donkertusk. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing all these right, but, you know, you'll have to forgive me.
Even though you made three
of them. It's true. I can't tell you which ones I'm thinking I'm pronouncing wrong, but...
Pepperondo, Wallamaloo. Did I get that one wrong?
No. Yeah, you got that one real wrong. Pepperondo, Wallamaloo, Bibberduke, or Donkertusk. I can spell these if you need to. They're spelled real weird.
It's okay. The spelling isn't going to help me.
Pepperondo, Wallamaloo, Bibberduke, Donkertusk.
I'm leaning towards B and C, the Wallamaloo.
Wallamaloo? Oh,
yeah, that one. And Bibberduke? Yeah, Bibberduke.
Something about that sounds Australian to you?
Yeah, they all sound Australian, but those really ring Australian to me.
That's fair. That's fair. Do you want to use your lifeline?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to lock in Pepperondo because I don't think they have a pepper.
It almost sounds Italian, doesn't it? Pepperondo, you know? Okay, so you're locking in that as Monty Hall, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's either Pepperondo or Wallamaloo.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Wallamaroo, final answer.
Wallamaloo, not Wallamaroo.
Yeah, that one.
Wallamaloo is correct. I think I pronounced this wrong because it has a lot of O's in it. And by a lot of O's, I mean there are eight O's in this word. W-O-O-L-L-O-O-M-O-O-L-O-O. Wallamaloo. Wallamaloo. So yeah, it's a real place in Sydney. Apparently, I'm not gonna get at the story. If you're curious why it's called Wallamaloo, Google it. It's funny. So there you go. You got your first one already.
Nice.
Are you excited for the other two later on the show?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Good. So what else is what else did we have for this episode? We talked about the self-care, which. Sorry we kind of ranted about that one, listeners, but, you know, these things happen sometimes. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you
saying? I was going to say, like, speaking of, you know, self-care and sleeping, getting a good night's sleep, we had the idea to talk about sleeping position.
I don't remember what brought this up last episode, but we were almost going to talk about it last episode, but we didn't. But, I mean, let's get into it now. Because my sleeping position has changed over the years. And I think Well, let's go over what our sleeping positions are first. What is your current sleeping position?
I start the night off on my back and usually wind up on my stomach in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Back to stomach. That's a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
I start out on my back as well, and I usually end up like, I want to say a half stomach. Like, it's not all the way on my stomach. It's like a side, I'm hugging a pillow kind of deal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a decent one to like, it's decent for your back. Mm. On your stomach is a really bad position for your back.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it's the worst. It's like the worst for your health in general.
Great. Maybe that's why I'm so depressed.
No, that's not why, because guess what? I don't sleep on my stomach. No, I mean, it's different for everybody. Remember to drink water, though. That's...
Oh, I will.
But no, I used to be a belly sleeper. I used to sleep on my stomach as a kid throughout my life. And then at some point, I had surgery when I was 17, 16, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I got like, I don't know if I've ever sold this on the show before, but I have like 2 titanium rods in my back because I had scoliosis as a kid. And, you know, it made me like I can't bend over anymore. Mm-hmm. And sleeping on my stomach is really uncomfortable. And it was really bad for healing. So they were like, do not sleep on your stomach. It will hurt a lot and it is bad for the healing process. So I had to like learn how to sleep on my back. So mm-hmm. for about 10 years, I was a back sleeper, like only back sleeper. Like I didn't even sleep on my side. I just slept on my back. But the past like 5 or 6 years, I guess, I've backslided. See what I did there? Back mm-hmm. into being kind of a side sleeper. So that's where I'm currently at, like a back/side sleeper, you know?
Yeah. So. When I was a kid, I was actually a side sleeper. I did the pillow hug slide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or not slide, but, you know, side.
Yeah, side thing.
Stance. And
side stance. Yeah.
But I switched to sleeping on my back because now I have to have, like, something wrapped around my eyes in order to sleep.
Like, what do you mean wrapped
around? Like a blindfold or, like, I usually use, a shirt or something. Yeah.
Because you're sensitive to light or whatever?
Yeah. As I've gotten older, I've become a much more sensitive sleeper. Mm-hmm. And small noises, flashes of light, wake you up. Anything will wake me up instantly.
Yeah.
So and you can't really keep something on your face.
On the side, yeah. So you got to be on your back in order to do that. But then when you roll over, it falls off. Well, whatever. Yeah. But then at that point, you're asleep already probably. Yeah. So you roll over. So I don't like to talk about this a lot because it's something that's plagued me my entire life. But I'm like super insomniac. Like I don't sleep much at all. Have I told you this? I feel like I've told you this.
Yeah, maybe I know this about you.
Like, I don't sleep much at all. Like, I'm like what I would call like a stubborn insomniac, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's 2 kinds of insomniacs. I don't know. I'm just talking out my ass right now. So, you know, forgive me if this is completely wrong. But I think there's 2 schools of insomniacs. You've got the active insomniac and you've got the stubborn insomniac. The active insomniac goes to bed, can't sleep, gets up after an hour or two, and, like, walks downstairs and watches TV for 2 hours and then goes back to bed, right? Yeah. That's the active insomniac. The stubborn insomniac goes to bed, lays down for 2 hours, is like, well, maybe I'm just doing something wrong, rolls over weirdly, gets up to go to the bathroom, goes back to bed, tries to find a different position, waits another 2 hours, says, maybe I should move over to this thing or use this other pillow, and then continues to try to get a whole night's sleep in that 8-hour window while not doing anything else but just trying to sleep better and failing. You know, and that's me. That's
night after night after night.
After night after night. And it's weird because you'd think I would have learned how to sleep after being alive for 31 years. You know, and be like, oh, this is the technique that works. But no, never, and it never happens. And every night I'm like, maybe if I roll over, I'll be more comfortable. Maybe if I scoot further down on the bed, you know, maybe if I get up to go to the bathroom and come back, it'll like reset my sleep position thing, and, you know, but it never, ever, ever works. And I feel like I have like a problem. I don't really know what it is, but like I can't get comfortable. Like, yeah, I just can't do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, not sleeping has like very serious effects on your health.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
The thing about it is I always sleep.
I always eventually sleep, but it's never for very long. So, like, I'll have, like I told you, like, an 8 hour. I always try to go to sleep for 8 hours. Like, I always get in bed knowing I have to get up in 8 hours or so. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I don't fall asleep immediately. It takes me a really long time to get to sleep. So I might get 2 or 3 hours out of that whole 8 hour window.
Yeah.
But that's me going back and forth on being like, oh, I can't sleep, da 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 da. And I think my issue is twofold. One is like my brain is always da 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 thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is like I have like a weird, I don't know, I just can't get comfortable either. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And the only way for me to sleep is if both of those align. Like I get comfortable and my brain gets turned off. Then I can sleep. But it's hard for me to get both of those, you know.
Do you sleep better when you're on vacation?
Oh, yeah.
Way better. Too.
Way better. Like, if I'm tired, I sleep pretty well. But I'm never – it's weird. I'm always tired, but whenever I go to bed, I feel like I'm not tired anymore. When I'm on vacation, I think you're so active during the day on a vacation that, like, your body is – it's not tired. You're exhausted. You know what I mean? So your body's like, I'm gonna bypass the hyperactive brain and the I can't get comfortable, you know, parts of my brain and just go to sleep. You know, it's like it forgets about that stuff and it just
So I've like for a lot of my life had horrible sleep issues too. Can I give you some advice that helps
please.
Me a lot?
We were talking about advice, so I would love to hear your advice.
Yes. Yeah. This is stuff that has helped me. It's had a profound effect on my life. So before you go to bed, like, this is 30 minutes before the 8 hour window.
Okay. Yep. So if you're going to bed at 11, do this 10:30.
There's a routine. Yeah. So 30 minutes before, you have to put your phone in airplane mode.
Okay.
Then you have to take a melatonin.
Okay.
Then you have to start reading 30 minutes every day.
Okay. Whatever you want.
It doesn't matter. It can't be on a screen, though. It has to be a book.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like, so I think I tried to do that, and then I, like, stopped doing it, but then, like, I only tried it for, like, a few days, so, and I didn't take melatonin, and it wasn't really 30 minutes before, so I think I need to do this more consistently.
Yeah, like, the melatonin is, like, the big one.
The big one.
It's what they give to drug addicts to help them sleep, because there's no drugs in it.
Yeah.
And it won't, like, interfere with recovery or whatever, so if it can make a heroin addict sleep, you know.
It'll make me sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a source of a lot of my anxiety. Just I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah, I mean you should try it. They make it Walgreens. They have melatonin gummy bears. That's what I use.
You can chew them. You can just chew them, eat them right before bed
while you're reading.
While you're reading, that sounds nice. You take one or
one I gummy, 10 milligrams. Two? It depends. Like they depends make the 5 milligram ones.
Depends on the size of the gummy. So maybe one, maybe two gummies.
Yeah.
Read a book. Go to bed. I'm gonna try that tonight.
I do it every night.
Yeah, maybe this is my issue. Maybe I just need to sleep more. I'm always thinking about shit when I'm sleeping.
Like, yeah.
Ugh, I hate my brain sometimes. The worst. Anyway, so I don't know how we got into that, but sleeping positions, yeah, I'm trying to sleep on my back and then it doesn't work. And then I try to, you know, find another position and then I can't find one and then it's a whole thing. But yeah, back sleeper. But mostly side sleeper.
Yeah, I learned something today that maybe I like shouldn't sleep on my stomach as much because maybe it's screwing up my back. Like,
it's definitely bad for you. It's the worst, absolutely the worst sleeping position.
Dang.
I mean, if it's not affecting you, it's probably fine. But like, if you're noticing your back is, this is like the self-care episode of this.
Isn't that ironic?
We're like giving each other advice on how to do stuff. This episode title should be hashtag self-care. Just letting you know. I'm just putting it out there, okay? But no, sleeping on your stomach, it contorts your spine in a weird way and your like lungs get weird too. So optimally sleep on your back, but if you can't do that, sleep on your side with like a big hefty pillow so that your spine can be nice and like aligned.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be straight, but like nice. Nice aligned
spine. You have to keep your head up so that it kind of is on the same level as your spine.
So that's my advice to you. And your advice to me is eat melatonin and
read a book.
And don't look at your phone.
Yep. If you look at your phone, it kills everything. I guarantee it.
I feel like looking at my phone is a cause of a lot of my anxiety. Like I love how plugged in we are, but I hate it too. Like I think it's killing me. as you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah. It's like the weirdest double-edged sword. And I know that's such like a baby boomer thing to say. Like, oh, it's killing you. But like, I love it. Like, I think it's great that we can communicate instantaneously all the time. But at the same time, I hate it because I'm always thinking about, when's the next person gonna text me? Or when's the next person gonna like my tweet? And all that shit that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, who cares about any of that stuff? And the answer is me. I don't know why, but I do.
They could be waiting to hear from you.
Exactly. Someone could tweet at my thing and they were like, Chris, we really think you're awesome. Can you come to Hollywood and direct this new movie that we want? Like, that could be waiting in my inbox. I gotta check or I might miss it. And they're like, you have 6 hours. You know? Like, yeah. That could be happening. It never happens, but it could. In my case, it could. You know what I mean? And we're back to the expectations versus reality thing, right? Like, the expectations of my life are always greater than what they are. So I'm always disappointed when I don't get that message from Hollywood saying, come direct this movie, and you have 6 hours, right?
Yeah.
But I know that's a ridiculous thing to expect, but... You know, not that I know the
feeling,
but like you expect good things to happen to you and you keep being plugged in all the time because you're like, you're just waiting for that next good thing. It's like, oh, something good could happen. I need to check Twitter. I need to check Facebook. I need to check my email. I need to check my work email, blah, 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 because one of those things could have a really good thing happening and I might miss it if I don't check. And have you ever missed something important by not checking your phone? Probably not.
Is there all the time?
You have? Really?
Yeah, but I go long periods without looking at my phone.
Well, I have not, even though, I mean, it's just, it's illogical.
Yeah.
You know, it's not illogical. So maybe I just need to take some self-care to not use my phone as much.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Enjoy a nice cup of tea and remember to stay hydrated.
And turn your phone off 30 minutes before your bed. Have a nice melatonin capsule before then.
That stuff is serious, though. That really works.
No, I know. Let's get into the next trivia a little early, because I have a doozy of a topic next.
Okay.
Your next category is Australia again. This is a good one. Oh my god, I didn't even write the question down. I just have to remember.
You can kind of guess what it is based on the... Yeah.
Oh shit, I have to capitalize Australia. I know only I can see it, but it bothers me if I don't capitalize it. All right. Question number two, Australia. What is the national flower of Australia? You didn't choose your lifeline.
50-50.
Now you know. Okay, what is the national flower of Australia? Is it A, the Banksy Cobbler? Is it B, the Golden Wattle? Is it C, the Mumford Whipper? Or is it D, the Long Neck Goose Snapper?
If the long neck goose snapper existed, it would be my favorite flower.
This is the question I was laughing at like so much before the show started.
But can you imagine the long neck goose snapper? I think it would just look like a goose's head that like sways in the wind.
I thought of it too. Yeah, it would just be like, it would be white. It would be like a lily, like a white lily. But like one of its flowers is like a gooseneck. And it would like move with the wind in funny ways.
Yeah. And it's notorious because when you walk by it, sometimes it'll get you.
It'll snap at you.
It'll snap you. And you have to watch out because there's burrs on the end.
What if goose lived in the long neck goose snapper field to like blend in? Like they were like, oh, let's go here because it's like camouflaged.
Yeah, like those pictures of there will be like 100 stuffed animal dogs and like yes, there's a real there's it's like one, that, but there's like one goose in the goose snapper patch.
And he's just waiting for a human to walk by and, like, get him, you know? Because gooses are assholes. They'll do that. Geese, I guess. You're like, yeah, got you in your heel or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, damn it, I got goose snapped.
Again.
Goose snapped. National flower of Australia. Banksy Cobbler, Golden Wattle,
Mumford Whipper, or Longneck Goose Snapper?
Without using my lifeline, I think it's the Mumford Whipper, because I think Mumford is a real place.
That sounds like a flower, too, doesn't it? Mumford Whipper. Yeah. I mean, they all kind of sound like flowers, don't they?
Yeah, they all sound real, except for the Longneck Goose Snapper.
Hey, maybe that's the real flower.
I don't think it is.
I'll tell you something that might give you a hint. I made up all the names other than the real one. So none of these are flowers, except the one that's real. So Longneck Goose Snapper might not be a real flower, but it could be. So, but my point is, if the Longneck Goose Snapper isn't a flower, then two of them aren't also flowers, if that makes sense.
So I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. I'm trying to consider if I should give you the Longneck Goose Snapper in the
50-50. If you do, I'll pick it.
To, like, throw you off.
Yeah.
Because, see, this is, like, the mind game part of trivia, you know? Because I don't know if you know that I know. Oh, my God, it's storming here really good. Okay.
That sounded nice.
Yeah, it's storming. All right, 50-50. Is it B, the golden waddle, or D, the long-neck goose snapper?
It's not the long-neck goose snapper.
Maybe it is.
I mean, that's the best world, but...
That's the good world that we live in, where the national flower of Australia is long-neck goose.
It's got to be the, what was it, the Mumford?
Golden Waddle.
Golden Waddle. Okay, I'll go with that one. Final answer.
Yeah, it's the Golden Waddle. I should have done Golden Waddle and Mumford Whipper, because you would have chosen Mumford Whipper.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wanted to see if I could tempt you with the Longneck Goose Snapper, which is a name that just came to me out of the blue. Sometimes that happens, you know, like, you just get, like, a spark of inspiration, you know, and you just Longneck Goose Snapper.
Just comes right out of the ether.
It goose snaps right at you, you know, and there it is.
We should become botanists and dedicate our entire lives to searching for new species of flowers.
And naming them great names.
And just so that we can use the long-neck goose snapper.
So we got to find a flower. It might take our entire lives. We need to find a flower that we can name the long-neck goose snapper.
It doesn't have to look anything like a long
neck. No, but it does. See, I think that's the problem with this, because, like, so let's say we do this and we find 10 flowers. Like, that's really probably not going to happen. But, like, let's say we do it for 10 years, we find 10 flowers. First flower, you're like, hey, this kind of looks like a long-neck goose snapper. And I'm like, it doesn't look like a goose snapper enough. Like, let's wait for the next one. You know what I mean? And then we do the next one, and you're like, this one is goose snapper material. And I'm like, I don't know. It's not quite goose snappery enough.
Yeah.
And, like, we just keep doing that, and we never find the goose snapper because they're not perfect enough. You know what I mean? That's what I'd be afraid of.
Yeah, that does sound... I mean, that sounds kind of sad.
But, like, on the other hand, if we find the first flower, right? Doesn't really look like a goose snapper, but maybe it's white. So we're like, okay. We name it Longneck Goose Snapper. And then 10 years later, I don't know why we're still looking for flowers, but 10 years later, we find another flower that's, like, the goose snapper... But we've already used the name on some other flower that doesn't look like it at all.
That's true. Yeah, like, that could...
What do you do?
Which situation is worse? I don't even know.
Would you rather never name the Longneck Goose Snapper and live in a world where you know you may never get a Longneck Goose Snapper, or live in a world where you know that the thing that's named the Longneck Goose Snapper is not really... the right choice for Longneck Goose Snapper.
But it still exists.
I think the second one is worse, actually. Naming it too early and then knowing that the Longneck Goose Snapper is out there. Because with the first one, you didn't name the Longneck Goose Snapper, but there's hope. You know, like, you got that, like, maybe it's still out there somewhere. Maybe the perfect flower is there.
Yeah.
And we can still do it. With the second one, you've lost. Like, you have lost the battle.
Yeah. You didn't lose completely, but...
I mean,
you did sort of lose.
You did. I wouldn't be able to live with myself after that.
I agree with you, yeah.
I would need a lot of self-care after I found that discovery. Sorry, I'm trying to circle everything back around. Okay.
No, I agree with you. That's a very powerful analogy we've just made.
It is. My whole life is the search for the Longneck Goose Snapper. And...
please write a memoir and just call it that.
No, but this is a really good, what, long neck goosenapper?
No, the search for the long
neck. The search for... This is good, though. This is a good analogy to life. Now, should it really be about my life, or should it just be about actually me searching for this fake flower that we just made up?
You could do it in a, like, weird Valis kind of way, where you make up a fictional character who's definitely you.
Who's me, yeah.
And he goes on this kind of elaborate quest to find a, like, a fictional long-necked goosenapper, so, but there's metaphors.
Right, for, it's like, a metaphor for real life. So when I was a kid, well, when I was a teenager, I read Valis, and he goes by Philip K. Dick's is like horse liver fat, right?
Isn't that that's his name in Valis?
And it's because it's like his name in like transliterated in some weird way.
Yeah,
it's like I think Philip means horse something.
Yeah, Philip means like lover of horses or like kindred, like family to a horse or something.
Anyway, in Latin. When I was a teenager, I read this book and I was obsessed with the idea of having my own like alter ego name. So I made my own name based on my real name. I forget what it is, though. No, I don't remember what the name was, but I remember writing a short story with this pseudonym. And I can't say it because it'll give away what my actual name is. But,
yeah.
I did this exact thing. You don't know this about me, but I did do
it. No, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
It was cool, though. I don't remember what I used for Chris. It was like... Oh, I don't remember.
It was probably something Italian, or because you're Italian, right?
Well, no. Christopher means bear of Christ in Latin.
Oh, okay.
So I think I did something with that. I don't remember how it worked. And then my last name, I like used. It's like a French last name, so I used like the root word, and then translated into English. But it was cool. I made it up, and I was really proud of it. It wasn't as cool as horse lover fat, but it was cool still. Anyway.
You should try to think of that. I would like to know what you came up with.
I don't remember what it was. I have stuff written down from that back then. I have to find it, and if I do, I'll text you my name. My old
sounds good.
But can I really fast before we move on? The search for the long-necked goosenapper, it's like an analogy. Like you said, it's like a metaphor for life, right?
Yeah.
Because you're always looking for the long-necked goosenapper, but you're not sure when you found it. Because you're inventing it. You know what I mean? And this is a really good metaphor for my life. Like, really good. Like, we didn't even realize we were doing this, but it's really good. Because, especially with, remember, we had the two ways of finding the goosenapper. You find the first flower, and you're like, good enough, it's the goosenapper. Or you wait forever until you find the perfect flower that is the long-necked goosenapper. But you might wait forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like my life is the waiting forever part. Because I'm always waiting for something to be perfect. And you never get there. But I'm always waiting. And even though I know that this other thing that maybe is just as good is there, I'm always like, no. I'm going to wait for the long-necked goosenapper, the real one. Because it's coming, you know what I mean? It's on its way. I can tell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you'll know when it's there.
Exactly. But, like, you'll know. Like, there'll be, like, a spark of inspiration. Like, that's the one. That's the goosenapper.
Yeah.
And I feel like with, like, life, like, making decisions and making choices about, like, your career and your future and, like, stuff like that, we're all kind of doing that in our own way because you're, like, you get to this thing and you have this decision to make and you're, like, is this the goosenapper? Like, is this the one, the decision. And you're like, maybe not. Maybe I need to wait on a better one. And sometimes you wait forever and it never works.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just bringing it around to be deep, you know?
Yeah, that's powerful stuff.
It is. So I think everyone's life is, in a way, the search for the long-necked goosenapper.
So. Yeah, I like that a whole lot. You should write that. That sounds good.
I should write it, but I should make it with, like, a fake me. And the goosenapper is just an analogy for something I want. I don't know what that thing would be. This brought to my attention another thing that I wanted to talk about really fast in the show. And I don't know if you do this. I do it all the time. So I'll be listening to music or like hearing something on the radio or on TV and it'll be like a phrase. And I think I've told you that this happens to me a lot. It's like I'll hear a phrase and it like my brain will misinterpret it as a different phrase. Like it'll be a simple, benign phrase, like the example I'm going to use is the phrase is screaming at the stars. Like it's something that like a Shakespeare character would say, like cursing your fate or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
screaming at the stars, screaming at the night or whatever. Like I hear that and it's like a cool phrase, but my brain is like, oh, that's not cool enough. Let's alter it to be something else. You know what I mean? So I'll hear it and then I'll like swap one of the words to something else. And I'm not doing this consciously. I'm doing this completely unconsciously. Unconsciously. And so, like, I remember listening to this lyric in a song, and the lyric is, I'm screaming at the stars, you know, which is, you know, it's kind of a, it's not that cliche, but it's, you know, kind of cliche sounding, right? It's like cliche.
Yeah.
But I interpreted it, I heard it as screaming at the stone, right?
Oh, that's so much cooler.
Right? So, like, after I heard this lyric, I thought it was screaming at the stone for like months before I looked up the lyrics. And when I found out, I was like, that's not as cool. But the cool thing about that, right? It's not as
cool. Can I introduce some like skepticism into this?
Yeah.
Maybe the people who wrote down those lyrics didn't know, and only you know the real lyrics.
See, that's what I thought for like a while there too. But, you know, I mean, it's probably not true. But maybe they're clued into it like me. But so like, for a couple months there, I thought it was Screaming at the Stone, and I would listen to the song and be like, that's such a cool lyric, Screaming at the Stone. So I'd have like this, and this is just an example of one of the phrases that does this. Some phrases that I hear, like, I have like an immense visual, like, ideation about them. Like a very pronounced, like, imagination about this phrase, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the imagination is like, it's like this guy like on the moon or in like a very like location that's very barren, and there's this like one big crag of rock that kind of looks like a monolith, right? But maybe more natural, you know what I mean? Like not the 2001 monolith, but like maybe like a really big monolith that's like craggly and weird looking, and he's just like yelling at it because he thinks it's like, I don't know, like his god or something, and he's like really mad at it, you know what I mean? And like that's like the idea that pops in my head whenever I hear this phrase, and it's just such a cool idea. And I realized that I do this with other phrases all the time. Like I'll get obsessed with like this small little, it could be like a lyric or it could be like a small phrase that is nonsensical. Like screaming at the stone makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense to me.
But like,
can I interpret it too?
No, go ahead.
I'll take a crack at it.
Yeah, do it.
So he's on the moon and he sees the big monolith stone and everything else is totally barren around him. Uh-huh. And he's screaming at it because he's like, why are you here? As opposed to like anything else that could be around here. Why is it you?
What are you doing here?
And I think he's mad because he sees himself in the stone. He doesn't know why he's there.
And he doesn't understand his purpose and why the stone's purpose either.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's cool. See, this is very what I mean. Deep. Like, I don't know. I have all these like phrases that I'll hear and I'll like obsess about them in my head and I'll have these visions about them. And I don't know. That's just one of them that I thought of because I heard the song on the radio coming home and I was like, oh, it's this song with the cool phrase that doesn't really exist in the song, but I think it does.
It totally exists in the song.
It exists in the song for me. But, I mean, it happens a lot in music because it's easy to misinterpret things. Like, it's easier to hear what you want to hear in music. But sometimes it happens when I'm, like, reading a book or something, and the author will just have some cool prose, you know, that, like, doesn't make any sense, but it's kind of flowery. But it's like, ooh, you, like, key in on it, and you're like, I don't know if they meant this, but this is the idea I have when I read that, you know? It's like this poetic thing. I don't know. I just was wondering if that's something that happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's art, isn't it? Like the person interpreting the art completes the piece.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. No, it's true. And I think that's my favorite kind of art. Like all art does that, but like my favorite kind is like hyper interpretive. Like it's like you can kind of graft whatever interpretation you want.
Yeah. It gives you some space to make it about you.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's why I like music more than any other art form, because I think it's the easiest to put your own meaning into. Like, easier than anything else.
Yeah.
You know?
To use a really silly example, like, you know that song, the YMCA?
Yeah.
It's fun to stay at the Y. Yeah. There are a lot of ways you can interpret that song.
There are.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. There are a lot.
It could be about, you know, core values, supporting the community, you know, all the good mission statement. It could just be about a bunch of dudes having sex at the YMCA.
It could be. And we don't know. And that's the great thing about the YMCA is we don't know. And it doesn't matter because it's up to you, the listener, to figure out whatever it means to you.
Yeah. I know which one's more fun.
That's a great example. It's perfect. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like interpreting stuff. And it's fun. And I think that a lot of stuff these days has gotten to the point of like, they're thematic but not interpretive. Like they tell you how to interpret stuff, and I don't like stuff like that. Like I like to make my own, you know, meaning behind things, you know.
Yeah.
When there's a movie or a book or whatever and it's like, this is what this is about, it's like, well, you know, it's about whatever I want it to be about, essentially.
Really. Yeah, the new Blade Runner was a really, really bad offender, and like one of the
I liked that movie a lot, but yes.
I liked it, but the original Blade Runner, you get to make up what it
means. What it means, you do.
Blade Runner 2049, no, it's Decker is not an android in that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear.
I think the two Blade Runner movies are a really great example of kind of the modern take on art cinema and the old take, which is what exactly we were talking about, which is like in the old way, it's just kind of like ambiguous, and it's kind of an analogy, but it's and a metaphor, and it's like whatever you want it, like you can kind of interpret whatever you want. And the new way, it's like very aesthetically pleasing, but then thematically it's like a checklist of themes. It's like, here's the things the director wants you to think about, you know what I mean, when you're watching this movie. And it's just becomes less of an experience. But I mean, I really like the new Blade Runner, but I completely agree with you. Like in the new Blade Runner, they have dozens upon dozens of scenes where they're basically talking about philosophy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just like lecturing you, you know what I mean? Like, what does this mean to be human and blah, 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 blah. In the old Blade Runner, they don't really have that at all. But there's this one scene in the old Blade Runner where it says more about that kind of thing than the new one did in, you know, 3-hour runtime. And that scene is when Roy Batty is going up the elevator. And the guy he's with, Jeremiah, I don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
The guy that plays chess with the dude that makes the robots. He's going up the elevator to meet his maker, to literally meet the guy who created him. And the guy next to him is playing chess with the creator. And he's about to beat him in chess. And the funny thing about that is he's supposed to be like God, right? Like, because he's created these robots. And this random dude that makes like prosthetic limbs is beating him in chess. And then Roy Batty goes up there and talks to him and realizes that he's just a dude, and he pushes his eyes out of their sockets and he kills him. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot of dialogue in the scene. It's just like him saying, you know, extend my life, and the guy's like, no, I can't. That's how you're made. And then he kills him. And it's like, you can interpret that a million different ways. I interpret it my own way. I'm not going to share the way I interpret it, but like that scene is so much more interesting from like a morality and philosophy like perspective than anything in the new Blade Runner movie. And it didn't preach its themes at me. It just showed me the scene, and I was supposed to just figure out what it meant to me, you know? And it's very memorable to me. Like, that whole sequence is super memorable because of that. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's my example, I guess.
It's a really good example.
Anyway, the old Blade Runner is so good. Blade Runner is such a good movie.
Yeah.
God, they don't make them like they used to.
It's the controversial take, second best Philip K. Dick adaptation.
Oh, what's the first?
Scanner Darkly is the best.
You think Scanner Darkly is the best? Scanner Darkly is definitely the most, it's the most, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like verbatim take?
Yeah. Like it's the most real to the story. I think I like Blade Runner, I like as a movie better. But Scanner Darkly is much more one-to-one with the book. You know what I mean? Like, it's very similar to the book. Yeah. Blade Runner, the movie, it's like half book and half new stuff. Thematically, it's very similar, but, like, they do different things. Like, in the movie, there's no really mention of animal worship or whatever.
Yeah.
But Scanner Darkly is, like, one-to-one.
Yeah, Scanner also Darkly, really too. Like, Robert Downey Jr. in that movie, that's his best role ever. And I think the closest he's ever been to, like, what he's like in real life.
I agree. That's a really good movie.
Like, Jim Barris is Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he's
or at least really, his, like, dark previous
Yeah, his self. Dark side, yeah. He's yeah. really good in that movie. I mean, everyone's really good in that movie. Keanu's really yeah. good in that movie, too. I need to watch that again. It's been a few years. I haven't read that book in a while, too. I remember it had a big effect on me when I read it, though.
Do you want to know something cool?
Yeah.
So, every time I order a sandwich from Publix, I do it on the internet. And for the past, like, 4 years or so, I've always used a character name from Scanner Darkly
really?
To order my sandwich.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
This is why you're my best friend, because you do these cool things. Like, I don't know anyone that does cool stuff like that.
Yeah, you that's know, probably, like, kind of a psycho thing to do, but
no,
I really
No, it's not
love
a psycho
it.
Thing. Like, you apply... This is going to sound really weird. You apply meaning to things that other people don't apply meaning to. If that makes any sense.
It makes
and
sense.
That makes you way more interesting than anyone I've ever met. Does that make
Thank
sense?
You
know what I mean?
I feel
mean?
So
like,
good right now.
You see what I mean? Like, you apply meaning. Like, you don't have to use a Scanner Darkly name to order your Publix sandwich. But damn it, you're going to do it because it makes it meaningful for some reason in some weird way. And that's, like, that's cool, you know? Like, that's – I do that too. Not in that same way, but, like, I do stuff like that, and I like that. Yeah. We've really got off the rails this episode.
People should do it, too. It's fun.
It
like,
is
if,
fun.
If anything else, it's fun to do. It really is.
No, it is. Yeah, I can't think of an example, but I do that. I do that, too. I think I do it more anonymously than you. Like, I'll do it on the internet. I'll apply meaning to things on the internet because it's unique and fun. Anyway, we should get near the final trivia question. I don't even know what time we're at because we had the
Yeah, I forgot to check the time on our
it's
last
It's fine.
Time.
Don't worry about it. I think we're at 45, so... We should be at like 60 right now. So this is the perfect time for your last trivia question.
Okay.
Category is Australia. Again, I'm not going to tell you the question, so just tell me the lifeline you want to pick.
5 second Google.
Okay. Last question. What was the first album to sell more than 1 million copies in Australia? Is it A, ABBA, Gold, Greatest Hits? So ABBA, the album's called Gold, Greatest Hits. Is it Thriller by Michael Jackson? Is it Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, or is it Whispering Jack by John Farnham?
I don't know what the last one is. I don't know if I should.
Well, there you go. Is it Greatest Hits, ABBA, Thriller, Michael Jackson, Born in the USA, or Whispering Jack by John Farnham?
Born in the USA is by far the funniest choice because, like, it's Australia. Mm-hmm. If that was the first one to sell over a million, like...
Something's wrong.
What are they doing over there?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to use my my 5 second Google.
What are you leaning towards before we
do that? Probably Michael Jackson, just because he's Thriller. Like he's the biggest.
What about ABBA or Whispering Jack?
Michael Jackson though, like that's Thriller. That's like isn't
no,
that
right.
like the biggest album?
Yeah. It's like I think it's the best selling album ever. All right, I'm going to use. I was going to use my iPhone timer, but I can't do that. We have to do tradition.
Yeah.
And tradition dictates that I use the stopwatch app. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, Google.
First album, 1 million copies in Australia.
Boop, boop, boop. Your time is up.
All right. I have a list of best-selling albums in Australia.
Good.
Delta Good Rem discography.
No clicking.
This,
remember,
you
this can
didn't
scroll,
help me at all.
But no, it didn't help you at all.
It isn't Beyonce, is it?
It's not on the list, so no.
Okay. Nope. Okay.
This didn't help me at all. Really? I would have thought that would help you a lot. Like it would be there.
I kind of like guessed with the number of zeros, and it was actually 10 million.
Whoops.
Like, because I didn't think to just hit it exactly 6 times. I was just like, just put it what it
It'll
looks
figure
like
it
enough.
Out.
Yeah.
You could have wrote 1 and then MIL, 1 mil.
Oh, that would have been smarter. No, I just hit the 0 about.
And you're like, I think that's a million. I don't know. I'm eyeballing it. See, this is why I use commas, so you know you're.
All right. I'm going to guess Michael Jackson's Thriller, final answer.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Damn. Is it ABBA?
Do you want to do... You want to keep going until you get it?
Yeah. Okay. Second guess is ABBA.
Incorrect.
Damn it. It's Bruce Springsteen.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Incorrect.
damn. What is that other album? I've never even heard of it.
Dude, I don't even know what it is. It's Whispering Jack by John Farnham. Never heard of it. Apparently, it was really popular in Australia, though. There you go. He's some random English singer. He's not even from Australia. He's just famous in Australia.
All right.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Now you know. I mean, that's a trivia question I'll never forget because it's so weird.
I guess that kind of makes sense. They don't really import a lot of American culture compared to like most countries. They're on a
different hemisphere over there, you know. Yeah. Their brains swirl in the different direction. Yeah. Whatever you want to say. You know?
Video games are like $20 more.
Yep. Everything's upside down at all times.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild if like they perceived the world upside down in Australia?
If you went there, you were just totally disoriented.
No. You didn't, but Australians perceive the world.
Right, but if you took a plane there and that disorientation hit you.
That's true, yeah. I don't know how this works. You know what's interesting? If I perceived the world upside down and you did not, we wouldn't be able to explain that either of our rays is correct to each other.
You're correct, yeah.
I don't think.
Unless there was some other third-party objectively correct viewpoint that we could both reference. But we would never
be able to know what an objectively correct viewpoint is.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they could be looking at the world upside down, too, and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's different than colorblind, too, because that you can kind of see, like, with different tests or something. I don't know how they found that out.
I mean, I don't know how they did that either. With colorblind, it's different because there's a physical manifestation that you can, like, tell that I can't see such and such color.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a test I can take to be like, I can't see that, and I can see that. But this person can see it, and I can't. That means I have a deficiency, you know what I mean? But with an upside-down thing, I don't think that's the way. I think it's the same with color, not color blindness. Like, my perception of the color blue could be completely different of your perception of the color blue. But we'd never be able to communicate our different perceptions of the color blue because we can't communicate the color blue to each other.
Yeah.
We can just communicate the word blue.
What it means to us.
Which is kind of wild if you think about it.
Yeah, that is wild.
Like, my blue could look like your orange. We wouldn't know. Like, we would never be able to know that as people. Sorry, this is a very heady Time Pass show today.
Maybe that's why I don't like the color orange and other people really do.
Oh, because it really looks like something else to you and to them.
It looks like they're brown.
Yeah, and their brown looks like you're blue, and they're like, I love brown, it's great, or something. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to say. We had a listener question today. I don't even know where we are on time. Like, I'm completely lost track.
I have no idea.
We had a listener question today. I want to get into it before we get into the Reddits and then end the show. The listener question is, oh my god, did I lose it? No, I didn't. What is your ideal Chipotle burrito combination? This comes from Spitfire. We're a long time listeners. Thank you, Spitfire.
Thanks.
My ideal Chipotle burrito combination is white rice, black beans. White rice, black beans, barbacoa, hot salsa, cheese, and sour cream. That's what I get every time. What's yours? What do you do?
Mine is, I do burrito bowls because I just don't trust them.
It's over. Nope. No, I'm just kidding. Go for it.
No. There's a really good reason. I order the bowl because you're flipping a coin whether that person knows how to roll a burrito or not.
That it's a 50-50. Sometimes they screw up and then they have to take the whole thing out and do a whole other burrito. That's like the longest, like, watching someone fail at rolling your burrito and then have to make another burrito, like, that's the longest experience in your life. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Because they, like, mess up all the ingredients and mix them together.
And then you're, like, watching them and you can tell that they're, like, in a hurry because they're anxious that you're watching them fold their burrito wrong. And they're like, I'm trying to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then they screw up again. You know, it's
so. And then you're thinking, like, they might just never get this.
Like, it might never happen. Do you have anxiety about that sometimes? Like, there's a thing you need to do, and you keep failing at it, and you're like, maybe I'm just never going to get this. Maybe I'm just going to die without this ever happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Like, when we start the episode and we're clapping and we're trying to get in sync, we must have done it, like, 7 times once. And the thought, like, came into my head. I was like, maybe we're just never going to get it. Maybe this is the last episode. We're just going to clap 100 times, not going to get it, and be like, well, I guess that's the end of the podcast. We're never doing this again.
You know? You have to start brainstorming contingency plans. Like, okay, how am I going to put a stop to what we're doing? Because when is enough enough? Because,
like it's the scary thing about understanding statistics is knowing, and probability is knowing, that it might never happen. Like, if there's a chance, however slim, that it might never happen. You know what I mean? And so you do have to put a time limit. You have to be like, okay, we've done this 100 times. It hasn't worked. We have to stop, you know?
Yeah. It's like, we won the failure lottery. Like,
exactly. You know? And I don't know. I get anxiety about stuff like that sometimes. Like, especially if I'm at work and I need to do something and it's not working. And I'm like, I have to do this. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know how to do it. And then I keep trying and I keep failing. And I'm like, maybe I just never will get this. And then it'll just fail and I'll get fired because I'm terrible at, you know, my job or whatever. But, you know, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah. Adding someone watching you always makes it a lot worse.
100% worse.
Yeah. To make a burrito analogy, like, if someone messes up my burrito the second time, I just tell them to leave it. Like, just give me the massacred burrito.
Just throw that in a bowl and we'll call it good. You know? And, like, maybe give me a dollar off or something. I don't know. You know?
I will pay you an extra dollar to stop rolling that damn thing.
Like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I've had enough. I've had enough. Do you want to finish the show with a Reddit?
Sure. Let's, I have a good would you rather that we can do.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect.
All right. So, question is, would you rather never have the food or never have the clothes?
Oh, God. So, you never eat or you're never clothed.
Yep.
Now, I have a question. When I never eat, do I die, or are we just assuming that I'm getting my nutrients somewhere, somehow? You know what I mean? Like, I can live without eating, is what I'm asking.
Maybe you never have food. You can, go eat other people's food.
Oh, man. That's rough. So I have to, steal stuff, basically.
Yeah. You have to be, Aladdin or something.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Do you think that Aladdin stole stuff every day, to eat?
I mean, maybe he went days without eating and it just sucked.
But here's the thing. The beginning of Aladdin, sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. Beginning of Aladdin, he steals bread with the monkey, Abu, and then he gets chased by the guards through the street, and then he, escapes, and then he splits the bread with the Abu, but then he gives it to some kids. That was one day in Aladdin's life.
Yeah.
Before that, he'd have to have, years and years of that, you know? Yeah. So, did he get captured by the guards every day, almost? And if so, those guards are terrible at their job. They can't catch Aladdin. He's doing this every day because he's stealing food. I always wondered about that. Is that a typical day in the life of Aladdin, you know?
And if I remember, didn't the guards, threaten to cut Jasmine's hand off because she was stealing?
Yes.
So that implies that if Aladdin had been caught before, he wouldn't have a hand.
Yeah, but he's never been caught. But he's done this 300 times at least, right? He's been doing this for a year, at least a year. 300 times he's never gotten caught. That doesn't – any criminal, however good, is going to mess up and get caught, especially if he does it every day. Because then it gets predictable, watch for Aladdin. He's coming for the bread right now. I know him, you know. They would be ready for him. The mayor would get involved, and they'd be we're going to do an anti-Aladdin, watch, where, we're going to go, and we're going to make sure Aladdin doesn't steal any food today. You know what I mean? They would prepare. Yeah. The people that make the food, that have the bread and the apples, they would complain, and they would, probably install some security system that would, capture Aladdin, you know? But, how did he – I don't know how he did that.
Yeah, I mean, that's – Aladdin lives in a small town. I think there's only one market. Surely they would expect him.
Yeah, every day. He has to eat every day, you know? I don't know. These are things I think about. But anyway, back to the question, which – sorry.
It's okay.
I don't even remember what the question was.
Never have the food or never have the clothes.
I mean, I don't know if I could live like Aladdin every day. I would go naked.
But how are you going to get food if you're, you're naked?
That's true.
You're just going to drive to the Wendy's drive-thru and, like, hope they don't look down?
I would join a nudist colony.
Okay.
And we would have food together. We would grow our own food.
I don't know if I could do that.
Join a nudist colony?
Yeah.
I don't think I could either.
That's just... That's off the table.
Don't. So you would be Aladdin. Every day you'd go to Agrabah and steal food and hope that the guard doesn't catch you and cut your arm off.
I think that's what I'd have to do.
How long do you think you could live like Aladdin before you got your hand cut off? Like, maximum number of days.
In every day today, like where I live now?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're going to Publix and you're like... You sneak around and you grab bread and you run, you book it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I've never tried to do this.
I'm not saying you should, but
maybe I should just to see if I could.
Use a character in the Scanner Darkly when you get caught. Like, what's your name?
I'm Bob Arctor.
That's been episode 147 something of the Time Bat Show. I'm your host, Time Mason.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
Who's our sponsor today?
Our sponsor today is Agrabah Breast. Agrabah Best brand baked bread. Baked fresh every day.
Agrabah Breast brand. When you're in the mood for the best bread in Agrabah, choose Agrabah bread.
See? It's hard.
Remember when you're feeling kind of moody.
Go to the movies, as always.
As always. Have a great night, everyone, and drive safely. Bye.
Bye.